Stand and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay.
Everyone had a chance to look at the agenda. Any corrections or?
Commissioners, Abigail has a family emergency today. She's not going to be here today, so we'd like to remove the December financials from the agenda.
Item B.
And we will get you a copy of that as soon as she returns.
Okay.
So I move that the agenda be approved as modified?
I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Public comments, anyone? Hearing nothing.
Oh, public comments?
Public comments.
I would like to thank you guys for a fabulous retreat. And so many topics that got discussed and so many hard things got hashed around, and it was wonderful. It was like 180 plus from last year. So thank you all.
I would like to thank you guys for attending. That's gotta be like, open up your eyes.
I mean, like all the no-dos in the parking lot, changing hands, or, yeah.
You just care.
Mr. Libby.
I enjoyed the retreat as well. There was one issue that I kind of was curious about, and I wrote to you about it, and that was the Chris's plea for more help with electricity, with someone to help with maintenance of electricity. And I reflected on the fact that we are paying $10 a month or $120 a year for electricity. And when that first occurred, I was, of course, suspicious that it was going to be like the environmental fee, which was kind of backdoor to raising our rates. But I was reassured that that money was to be used for maintenance. So I was curious about just where is that money going? Because the 300 slips, that's $36,000, that's just for the permanent slips, so there's probably more. So I was going to try in the next month to get some data on just where our electrical fee is going for maintenance from port records, and have something to report to you.
Thank you.
Next time.
What else? Lily, make some news? Okay, consent agenda. Everyone had a chance to look?
Yep.
I move we approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes have it.
You gotta say aye.
You say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We have a presentation.
Okay. So we had a little bit of an announcement to make. In 2012, 7 years ago, Julie joined the Port of Port Townsend. She brought her background in boating, a calm and collective presence, and a positive attitude. Julie has spent countless hours assisting the port tenants and taking great efforts to assure the happiness of many of our customers. At the end of January, Julie will be retiring and leaving us off to new adventures and motorcycle trips. We're sad for her departure and appreciate the time that she gave to the port and our community, but we're excited for her and her new chapter in life. Thank you, Julie, for all of your hard work over the years, and we're truly gonna miss you.
Always good to start off with when in the course of human events.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Julie.
Can I add one?
Sure.
Julie, I would love to add as a customer at Point Hudson how faithful you have been to keep our docks open. And that has not been an easy task, I know that. And you have seen many, many questionable boaters come into the marina. And you've done that with grace, and I really, really appreciate all that you've done. Yeah.
She did the same in the liquor store before that.
Okay. But then she can bring bottles out of
it. That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Really section.
Okay, second reading. Delegation of authority resolution. We read this through last week. It's essentially a diminution of the executive director's delegation authority. And that authority has been rewritten and presented as a resolution.
So I'll make a motion that we accept the delegation of authority as written with the changes.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Meeting procedures. Any amendment or discussion about the procedures?
I think we discussed it pretty well last time. Basically, the meeting procedures are essentially unchanged. The meeting times have had a couple of changes. One with that no meeting in the last part of December, and the other one with a Tuesday in front of Thanksgiving. So I move that we approve the meeting procedures, resolution 695-19.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. United States Coast Guard supplemental lease agreement.
Eric?
So very briefly, the request by the United States Coast Guard for supplemental lease agreement number 2 came before you initially during your meeting of January 9. The request is to extend the potential term of the agreement, and I say potential because this is exercised on the basis of 1-year options from 1 October 2020 through to September 30th, 2023. As the Commission knows, most all port leases include language requiring both an annual CPI adjustment to keep pace with inflation. And they also include language permitting periodic market rate adjustments as well. Over the past 10 years, CPI adjustments at the port have averaged just under 3%. The Commission expressed concerns at your last meeting with the fairness and equity of permitting the Coast Guard to incorporate a fixed escalator in this proposed agreement of 1.5% per annum, which is below the long-term inflation rate, while most port tenants were seeing their rents adjusted at a greater rate, just under 3%. I think from the staff perspective, we view the Coast Guard as a really highly valued port tenant. The Coast Guard's presence at Boathaven provides both the port and the community with really valuable benefits, some of which are easier to quantify than others, and I'll just tick through some of those. First is ensuring or promoting public safety. The Coast Guard plays a very central role in assisting mariners and ships in distress in the marine waters in proximity to Port Townsend. Environmental response. The Coast Guard is one of the first agencies contacted by port staff in instances of spills of fuel or other hazardous substances into local marine waters, and they also provide vital information and assistance to port staff in dealing with derelict and abandoned vessels, which unfortunately is becoming more of a routine matter than we would wish for it to be. And finally, infrastructure and funding support. The presence of the Coast Guard at Boathaven is why the United States Army Corps of Engineers routinely dredges the entrance channel at no cost to the port. Entrance channel dredging alone would require the port to invest upwards of $200,000 every 6 to 7 years were it not for their presence. The Coast Guard presence at Boathaven also increases the likelihood of the ports being able to access other federal funding sources, for instance, Department of Homeland Security monies that can help to maintain and rehabilitate other aspects of core port infrastructure. Because of these benefits, in staff's view, This more than makes up for any perceived loss in revenue that might be associated with a 1.5% escalator as opposed to a standard CPI increase that would be in most of our leases with non-federal tenants. Accordingly, staff recommends that the commission authorize the executive director to execute supplemental lease agreement number 2 to the original 2016 agreement. And I've taken the liberty of preparing a draft motion should you wish to enter it into the record to kind of clarify the benefits provided by the Coast Guard, which are the basis for approving a 1.5% escalator versus a standard CPI.
Let's just go over some of those benefits a little bit. I really like the Coast Guard myself, but we have to be fair, you know, and that we can't be saying, oh, we're going to give you guys a break and nobody else. I mean, that's kind of like what Frank used to say, oh, you blanked. All of a sudden, now everybody wants that lesser rate. So you said that we have a channel dredged every 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. I've been here 7 years. Have we had it dredged in that time?
Yeah, it's been dredged 4 years ago.
So does it need to be dredged again?
About 2 or 3 years, yeah.
Do they have any impact on the breakwater that started coming apart right next to the boat or not?
What do you mean?
When we had that $200,000 repair that just came out of the funds, even though it was right adjacent to their boat, right?
But I expect to ask them for their support and help in this next phase of breakwater.
On derelict boats, you know, I'm not sure, have they been of any assistance in derelict boats? I know that DNR is, and I know that I've worked with the sheriff a little bit on derelict boats. I don't recall ever having the Coast Guard assist us in any derelict
boats. Well, the latest boat that came apart on the breakwater, mm-hmm. they were very instrumental in making sure the owner was out there cleaning up. It's something that no other agency could do with the Coast Guard. So they did intervene in that and required him to go out and clean up. So we're in contact with the Coast Guard on a daily basis, if not a weekly basis. And if there's a spill in the marina, they're the first people we call, and they're right there on site. Matter of fact, they call us quite often to let us know there is a spill in the marina. So they do assist the port in ways that no other tenant assists us.
I agree with the concern expressed, but I think that I'm fairly convinced that the compensation from the services and the opportunities that having the Coast Guard station here provides the port is adequate compensation to make up for the additional 1.5% that we would otherwise realized on this lease, and I'm very aware that you know, setting a precedent saying we're going to forgive this fee or that amount arbitrarily certainly is not something we want to approach, which is why I asked Eric to look into preparing this motion for us.
So I don't see that motion. Oh, here it is. You just heard it. Just got it right now, huh?
Yeah, well, Steve's reading that. I did talk to a couple people and out farther west in the peninsula, and you know, they are indeed carefully looking. So at possibly Port Angeles, and so I think, you know, it's always kind of like, you want to know, are we playing poker, and is this a bluff, or is this a pair of aces? And I would be, particularly because of the dredging issue, but also because of the safety and the pollution, I would really be concerned to lose the Coast Guard as a tenant.
Okay.
Yep, sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was an operator error at my end.
What?
Oh.
I lost you for a minute with my operator error because Commissioner was talking about the postcard lease. I'm sorry.
Frank, do you have any comment on the lease and doing a 1.5 escalator instead of the normal CPI?
Well, I think the commission has identified the very issue. Every port tenant can come up with a reason, in my experience, why they are special. They provide some service. The federal government's different, though, than everybody else. That's the practical reality of it. They're the 800-pound gorilla, and they have their rules. And so I agree with port staff that, the federal government only does what the federal government does, in my experience. So, I think you have to be very careful to differentiate why you're treating the Coast Guard special, because every other tenant will come in and say they're special. I see in the agenda there's another matter of an option where they're essentially arguing they're special. They want a special deal. So it is a problem, but I think it can be sufficiently differentiated because it is the federal government.
So is anyway,
I'm not persuaded by the federal government argument, but I think the facts what they provide to the port is substantial. I would go ahead with the finding on that basis.
So has anyone been able to talk to Port Angeles because of the furlough? Is anyone here?
No.
So we don't really know that any of these things that are in here are going to still be going on, even at 1.5%. I mean, we don't know that that's going to insure any of this stuff, do we?
Well, spill response alone is more than we would get in 1.5%. Mm-hmm. I mean, just being there with boom material and spill response is huge.
Yeah, what I'm getting at is Pete said he was over back east talking to people, or back west talking to people, and we don't know that this is going to insure that they're going to stay here. We do this. They could be just building a new dock right now, and we just need to pull this money out.
We are trying to mend fences with our federal partners. That is true.
But it may mean they'll be here for at least 3 years.
3 years.
Right. Again, these are exercised on the basis of one-year options. And they're seeking to extend this through to September 30th of 2023, at least the ability to exercise those options. If we get to a position or a point where the port's bargaining position is such that it would mean that they could not enter into this supplemental lease agreement, we could ensure an earlier departure by the Coast Guard, kind of unintentionally, which is not our object here.
So this agreement is an agreement for 3 1-year consecutive.
This is amending the agreement to extend the number of options through to September 30th, 2023.
You know, I think what we're really going to do is have heart with whoever's in charge to see what they're really thinking.
Are you looking for something, a resolution tonight? You need a vote.
We would really like to get this approved and move on, yes. If at all you feel comfortable with this. This is a second reading.
Yeah, Commissioners, what I am trying to say to you is, unlike any other tenant, the federal government doesn't have much room to negotiate sometimes. It's a go, no-go decision that's made at levels above. I recommend, like staff says, you approve this, but that you start to really have a hard talk with the Coast Guard about what happens in 2023. So they have enough time to do what they need to do to satisfy the port. Otherwise, you end up with you end up with the Coast Guard saying, well, if you don't do it, then we'll have to look at other options, kind of thing.
Okay. So how about I make a motion?
Go ahead.
For the, to approve the Coast Guard lease as written in the supplemental lease agreement.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Commissioners, if I could, I think you should put on the record that this is kind of unique to the U.S. Coast Guard, because although lots of tenants contribute to the port's overall success, the Coast Guard is different than anyone else. So
I'll read this into the record then. Subject is U.S. Coast Guard Supplemental Lease Agreement, recommended commission motion and findings. I move that the commission authorize the port's interim executive director to execute the supplemental lease agreement number 0002 as presented, pursuant to the following findings, which shall be entered into the record. One, the United States Coast Guard is a highly valued port tenant that provides substantial benefits to the port and the community. Two, the benefits include but are not necessarily limited to the following. Promoting a public safety, the Coast Guard plays a central role in assisting mariners, ships, and ships in distress in marine waters in proximity to port towns. And B, environmental response, the Coast Guard is one of the first agencies contacted by port staff in instances of spills of fuel and other hazardous substances in local marine waters and at port facilities. And C, responding to problem vessels, Coast Guard provides vital information and assistance to port staff in responding to and dealing with derelict and abandoned vessels. And D, infrastructure maintenance and access to funding opportunities. The presence of the U.S. Coast Guard at Boat Haven facilities facilitates routine dredging of the entrance channel by the United States Army Corps of Engineers at no cost to the port. This dredging would otherwise require the port expenditures of $200,000 or more every 6 to 7 years. Moreover, the Coast Guard presence at the Boat Haven increases the potential for the port to succeed in accessing other federal monies, for instance, Department of Homeland Security funding, which can help maintain and improve port facilities. Therefore, because of these and other tangible benefits provided by the Coast Guard's presence at Boat Haven, the commission expressly finds that a 1.5% annual increase is appropriate and provides full and fair value to the port and the public for the use of the premises. Accordingly, the interim executive director is authorized to execute supplemental lease agreement number 0002, submitted for the record.
I think that what I'd like to see in that is a change in number one. And you could argue that all of our tenants are highly valued tenants. And they all have very distinct things to bring to the table. What the Coast Guard is unique. So let's take out highly valued and put in unique. Then we can understand that this is how come it's different than all of the rest of the people are on it, special.
The other thing, commissioners, I recommend that you say, we agree that a temporary deviation from policy through 2023 is warranted, but it's not forever that they get a 1.5% ROI on their lease.
Amend paragraph one, the United States Coast Guard is a unique port tenant that provides substantial benefits to the port and the community. In the second to last paragraph, therefore, because of these and other tangible benefits provided by the Coast Guard, commission expressly finds that a 1.5 annual increase for the 3-year period is appropriate and provides full and fair value to the port and the public for the use of the facilities. Any discussion, or do we need to make the motion again, or just
no?
No, just okay.
Put in that word.
Okay. Northwest Maritime Center proposal.
Commissioners, 2 weeks ago, Jake Beattie and I spoke, and Jake put together this proposal And I know Jake's here to talk about it as well, one of his board members. The proposal is basically to have an option to lease the old landfall restaurant site for future development at some point. This isn't put on the agenda to make a decision necessarily tonight, however, you certainly can if you'd like to move that forward. But it's an opportunity for the Maritime Center to talk to you about their reasonings for wanting this and how they envision this. So if you could, invite the Maritime Center maybe up for them.
Jake, that's why I remember where he is.
Where would you like me to be?
Okay. I'm going to start by just first saying, I'm going to take a little bit of issue with your cyber counselor there. I don't think we're asking for anything special here. I think, in fact, we've stopped trying to have a special relationship with the port some time ago. I think, to my knowledge, we pay either in kind or full or a cash equivalent market rate for everything we do with the port. And I'd say anything, this proposal is our attempt to fit into the established form of business transaction we know the port has had in the past for this property. You know, I think the last people that had an option on this was Pete Henke, and one of our board members had an option. So I resent a little bit that we're seeking special treatment. I think what we're trying to do is find a path forward for both of our organizations that is in a format that's agreeable to both, and one that I think, at least through our conversations, wasn't out of the ordinary when I spoke to Jim. So if it feels special, I apologize for that. It's not my intention, nor where we thought we were going. That said,
did anyone say that it was special?
Wow. He just did earlier this meeting. Yeah. He said we were seeking a special agreement because we thought we were special.
I'm sorry. That's not what I meant. I'm saying what I've told the commission in the past is that once you start to grant concessions, then all tenants can make an argument that they have a unique contribution or a special contribution. Certainly, your organization has a special contribution to the city and to the port district. And everybody will argue that. That's all I was saying. I wasn't.
Yeah, we'll let the audio tape be the record on that one. But I'd like to get past that and just talk about the proposal. So the proposal really is, we're a growing organization. We are currently full-time employees in the winter. Headcount-wise, permanent employees were about 36. In the summer, we flexed up to about 80. And our programs have, I want to say, tripled, somewhere between 3 and 4 times the size in the 10 years we've been open. So this is a moment in that we are looking at ourselves, our trajectory, our next 10 years, and looking at some of the things we have talked to you about in the past, and we're looking at a greater, more in-depth involvement around in and around Point Hudson, but certainly have come to the fore as we continue to support the Port Townsend Maritime Schools Initiative. What you might not be aware of is that we are in conversation with the schools, both here and the Bremerton Skills Center, about housing a Maritime Skills Center satellite campus at the Maritime Center. All this is creating space pressure on us, and while we are not in a place that I can pitch you what we need space-wise and where we would like to expand, we knew that an option had existed on this property before and thought that if we could get that option, if you were willing to at least go that far with us, we could pursue that development plan with you and making sure that it fit inside of the grand plan you're coming up with around preservation and inside of the master plan I know you're talking about creating for Point Hudson. And making sure that folks like Pete and the Schooner Martha and the whole region or the whole district is served by whatever we're doing there. We're trying to add value. We're not trying to chisel anything off, and we just need some time to develop our plan to make sure that we can do it successfully and with the full buy-in of the community. I'll also say I think there is an added benefit for this option in that I know your plans are to use that as in that non-permitted use of parking, and should there be at least a notion of a plan forward for that space, it seems like it might be a good way for you to have a conversation of why that non-permitted use should be allowed, at least in the interim, as we develop our plan. I'm not saying there's going to be a citizen complaint, but if there was, it seems like it's a reasonable argument.
So I know the spot. I guess the 100 by 100 foot, I'm not clear about how that area fits inside that spot and what impact it would have on Martha's access to the...
I would say the option would have zero impact on Martha's
access. The options would have, but correct. I mean, I guess going forward, I presume that that the option is not a beneficial, just a program to pump money into the port. It's actually for something you guys may have in mind for the future. I'm just trying to get an idea about, you know, it, I assume this goes into a lease and we lease the 100 by 100 square foot.
Can I ask a clarifying, because sure. I have not, was not part of the last option process. I think you three were though. How did that work and would this be analogous to that?
Yes, it would be. And what we did last time with Mr. Finney and...
Actually, the last one was the fellow that owns the Ace of Cups. Mm-hmm.
So we've done it three times. And that was an option to purchase, I mean, to lease down the road. It was an option that gave the port some money up front to kind of hold that. It's non-refundable. And there were checkpoints of what had to happen in order for that option to go through. So it's very analogous to that.
Both of them were a year in length.
I think the cup one was a little longer than that, but I can't remember.
The cup was a year.
Cup was a year. I think that the first one, the Penny and they used to have teas. I think that was a longer one, if I'm not mistaken. But in any event, I think it's a wonderful idea. Okay.
I guess I don't have any heartburn with it on the face of it.
I was going to stay quiet. I'll talk a little bit. And I think the issue here is parking. And
For the term of the option or for the
lease? No, for the Maritime Center and for the tenants that are currently around that piece of property. And I see David King slipped in. Hello, David. Somebody who knows this issue well. We all get it that it's non-compliance to have parking in that location. But we also all understand that everything is critical at that location. And, frankly, the Maritime Center is the elephant in the room as far as on that corner there and what happens with cars. And so I think it would really, as far as other tenants that are in that location, it would really be beneficial to see a parking plan before we talk about a option to remove parking from that location.
Well,
particularly as you talk about bringing in a school potentially and adding more weight to the parking stress that's already going on at that corner.
So two clarification, well, one clarification and one potential alternate opinion. The summer, it's your business that leases that parking lot.
And on weekends, Saturday and Sundays off.
I think it's all, yeah, well, I got it wrong, but we tend to not park there in the summer anyway because of our traffic management agreement that we have for the development of the building. So peak season, our staff and employees don't park there. And there are signs up that say no Maritime Center parking, and I don't enforce parking, so I don't know how.
Right.
But at least I know the employees are pretty respectful of that. Second, it's our assumption, and one of the reasons I think the length of this option is really required is that I agree with you. I think parking is a huge issue down there that needs to be solved before development happens. But that's a conversation that's going to involve you, and it's going to involve me as a Maritime Center, the port as a body, and the city as a body. And that, having some recent experience with how long it takes to work with bodies and multiple bodies of government, my hunch is that's going to take a little bit of time. And I'd love it to be in concert. I would posture us as slightly gun-shy of putting a lot of effort into a development plan if there's a large process of development, of civic planning that is a requirement of that development plan. It feels a little chicken and eggy to me, and I'd rather have the chicken and egg developed together.
Interesting. You imagine the image, I don't know.
And then I kind of have a vision of a cliff in front of the chicken and the egg, and they're both leaping off together.
So Jake, if I could ask a question, is your concern that we don't rent it to someone else, or is your concern to Ironclad tie it up so that you can do fundraising and planning?
We need something to begin the fundraising process. I think because of the amount of that's in the air, it seems a little too far to ask for a lease of the space.
We don't want to manage a parking lot. That feels like not our mission in the world. But it does. We do need, I think, another lesson we learned is we need some baby steps between our organization about how we can start to work together. This feels like it might be one of those baby steps.
I think the way I read this, when I read your proposal, was that you're wanting the option, like we've offered to other people. You want the option to, let's figure out what we can do with this, and we'll work in concert. Because, and with a longer term, when we have more time, and I particularly like this paragraph, which is, so we can be working with the adjacent tenants and the greater public as the design is developed. I think that's important, because what's happened over the long term is the city has been able to go ahead and put in all these things in the historic overlay without any even thought about parking. And so because of that, there's none down there. And that makes what little parking is there so valuable for like Pete and for you. And so since you're there, you actually had some good ideas on parking in the past. And I think that you'll be able to flesh something out. You know, we're going to have to work together on what the ultimate is going to be. And I personally think it's just perfect, you know, ideal for, because you're a major part of that town, of that area. And so I think it's just perfect for you to be doing the option.
I would just add that we are going to put the price tag on parking this for the lot. And so for you and for I, or for anybody around that, it's going to be fairly, we'll see what happens. If it does get used, and again, you know, we know the city has stated, we've got it right here in front of us as far as the parking goes, we know that's probably an incorrect use to be charging and making money on an area that's in shorelines there. But it will be interesting to see what that revenue stream is. And it'll add to the...
Seems like that should inform a lease price, right? You'll have an opportunity cost for a non-development option.
So, Eric, if the extract that you gave us from the development regulations,
I didn't do that.
No. Whose fault was that?
It was my fault.
Your fault.
Okay. I wanted you to know.
So there's this development regulation 8.11.2. Parking is as a principal use, not as an accessory to an authorized use. So it seems to me that that lot now is an accessory to authorized uses within the shoreline area there. So it's parking for Puget Sound Express, parking for other businesses there. It's,
yeah, I guess I, what I would offer, what I would offer is this: if you were seeking to have the city approve a purpose-built parking facility within the shoreline jurisdiction, mm-hmm. this development regulation would preclude it. Here we have Point Hudson, the majority of it, under unified ownership of the Port of Port Townsend with multiple lessees, mm-hmm. multiple tenants, and many areas within the shoreline jurisdiction that have long been available as essentially accessory parking for all of the uses and activities that go on the port's ownership. And that's the way I would view this lot. What's a little bit of a different twist here is the Iron Ranger out there and charging for parking. But that said, it is meant to serve as parking for the all of the users of Point Hudson and all of the uses, the established uses that are already there at Point Hudson. And from that standpoint, I would view it as an accessory use, not a primary use.
Okay, so what do we want to do with this?
Well, I think staff should continue. I don't know if we need to make a decision, but I do think staff should continue to come up with something more definitive on what it is the two groups are going to do. As far as the option would be, what the option is. Kind of hard to talk about the option because
we don't have
an option.
Yeah.
I guess you didn't get a copy of my New Year's resolution.
No.
I should provide you that.
Thanks.
I really want to see going forward, just for myself, not as commissioner, but just for myself to see the port and all of the other agencies and the Maritime Center, all the businesses within the port, really work on building positive, profitable relationships. So, and I know that ours has been colored by some false starts, and so I'd like to reinvigorate that engagement.
So what I'm hearing from the commission is you'd like me to work with Jake to put together an actual option for you to review and make comments on how this would move forward.
Yeah, in the past I think it was like $500 a year for a year option, and
we'll go back and research what that was.
Yeah, but I think that we were just saying we need to do something with this so that it's not just lying there fallow. So I think that's kind of the same thing we're going to be doing with Maritime Center, except that we're going to want to be a part of it. I mean, obviously they say that already they're not going to be doing any unpermitted uses, like condos on the top of a building. I can't do that because it's not a permitted use. So in other words, just work with them to make sure that it works in concert with what our plans are for their plans.
Yeah.
And then if we work together and say, surprise, here's my end of the 5-year thing, we want to build Kurt Ort,
I think one of the things we need to put in this proposal is how we can work together on coming up with a unified parking strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And not just say that's the port's problem to figure out port parking, but hopefully we can engage the city to join that conversation of this is the issue we need to address. How do we do it?
Yeah, just kind of close it, talking it out this morning and thinking about it. I get it as far as the city 8112 goes on the shoreline. As I just said, it's kind of a moment where the city, Maritime Center, and the port could come together, at least on the unified parking situation. Great idea as far as a cultural center. Great to bring Native Americans into the conversation.
Maybe a funky little cafe.
And I would clarify, we're not talking about the same thing we were talking about back in the old proposal. The Jamestown are still in conversation with us, but they're not explicitly interested in this piece of property.
Yeah. But again, talking about a unified parking issue with that corner, I think, would really be productive for everyone. And then, and then move forward. I mean, there was a landfall there, so we know that there's a structure there, and it worked. And so you just got to make those little pancakes, the fun ones.
Yeah, sure. The James Browns.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
We've got some direction, and we'll be in touch and see if we can hammer out an actual agreement that works.
Great.
Thank you. Olympic Peninsula Salmoner.
Well, commissioners, every year this comes back, and we have in the past allowed for waiving the fees. This year, TJ left us.
TJ just waived?
Yeah.
No,
I promised his wife I'd get him out of here by 6 o'clock. So.
Oh well, you should have told him.
We're actually rethinking this just because most of the proceeds of this now are going to be going to Clallam County. And although it's great, they always have good things to do, this is going to be actually for development at the airport in Squim Bay,
Diamond Point Airport.
It's a private airport.
They're going to add a heliport there, so I don't know if it's something to do with emergency
services. Yeah. So, although that's a noble cause, the question is, in these days when we're really not giving discounts, should we really be doing this? And I defer to you. Let me know what you'd like to do.
Well, let me ask a couple of fishermen in the audience if they think that waiving permits would make them go to another boat ramp to fish, because part of the reason we waive permit fees is to get people to come here, so they'll start fishing from here and buy breakfast here, buy boat gas here, and perhaps stay overnight here, because the fishing derby is more than one day, And so do you think that, you two guys, do you think that if they were going to charge fee, launch fee here of $10, that would dissuade you from coming here to go fishing? You'd go somewhere else? Where are the other ones at? There, it's this Discovery Bay Derby.
John Wayne, they park at John Wayne Marina, mm-hmm. and Gardner at, down on the dirt there and here. And
so it's really those three marinas.
It's like 450 boats or something, so, but it's spread out. It's in Clallam, it's in Port Angeles, it's in Squim, it's here.
So it's not this ramp really, it's the Gardner ramp?
The actual presentation is done at the Gardner ramp.
There are no fees at the Gardner ramp.
There are no fees at the Gardner ramp now, so.
Well, that'd be complete those.
But there is some launch there, up in people launch, but there's no dock or anything, so it's you know, some people bring their fish in there and just hand them off. But
basically,
I think that a lot of boats will park here and people will use the town, like you say, and spend money here and buy fuel here and just for 2 days or whatever. It seems like it'd be a generous thing to do for the city and county and everybody else.
Do we have a
a lot more money created
last year? How many waivers we gave for this?
You know, so many of these people have monthly or passes, annual passes, so it's kind of hard to know.
Yeah, you know, I really don't think that the amount of passes that were, you know, $10 tickets we sold with probably. I don't know, how many $10 tickets do you think we sold here last year? Or we would have, that we gave away at the Derby? Because most of the people that use this boat ramp have already got their annual pass.
Yeah, but a lot of people come in from out of town.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they've been coming here for years, ever since we expanded the boat ramp.
Right.
And so they're drawn to this area. I mean, this is a classy place to come to. And, you know, stay in a cheap motel room, but then you have good restaurants and bars and it's a beautiful area, but everybody that lives here, we all have ramp passes. You know, we don't need a freebie. But the thing I worry about is, would the town get a black eye from not subsidizing this?
What's John Wayne doing? What's John Wayne doing?
It's free.
Port Angeles is doing it for free at John Wayne.
Yeah.
Can't pay for the marina, they're going to sell it, and they're giving away the ramp.
Wow. I want their job. I don't know how much money you'll make by charging. If you do it 1 year, you can find out. But the other thing is, you might really piss people off. I don't know if it's worth
it. I guess, I mean, maybe it's worth a data point. I mean, I would say, Rather than give people just an outright pass, give people a ramp ticket at no charge. So at least we keep track of how many ramp tickets we were.
To administer that at 5 a.m.
Okay, who's paying the $10 anyway?
That's Steve fine. Gets up early.
Yes, he's going to be fishing. He's not going to be on the ramp. He's going to be on the water. What do you think? You're
the angler.
I don't know. I've been really after these guys to give us an accounting of where the money goes.
Right.
And they finally did. That's too bad. Because I was hoping that it would be going to things like their, well, I'm not sure what the CERT is. Is that the defibrillator thing or what is that? The CERT thing. I mean, that's the kind of stuff I was hoping it was going for, was community. Well, basically, it started as the fire department, because they were trying to keep their fire department going, because it was just falling apart.
In Gardner,
yeah. And Gardner's, you know, part of Jefferson County, you know, we have people out there. And so that was a worthwhile use of that to keep that going. But now that they're, I wish I knew what CERT means. I think it has something to do with
the probably community emergency response team, kind of. So team,
yeah.
One of those team things?
Yeah, it probably is. And the helipad's probably for, life flights or things like that. So it's still probably going toward good things. But The reason that I was so adamant about trying to get a boat ramp here was because this is a wonderful, an excellent place to go fishing. And but it was so difficult before that people didn't want to come here. You'd line up for hours. And so trying to get people here was the goal, not to make a whole bunch of money on ramp fees, because ramp fees are inexpensive. And so if I had to say, I'd still say I'd be for waiving it. Now, had that changed, had John Wayne, for example, decided that they were going to start charging, then we wouldn't be the only one being grubby for money. I would probably have changed, but since it's still the same as it's been, and this is like one of the earlier fishing breweries, I'd probably still say, let's go ahead and waive it.
And I like Port Angeles Commission had the same discussion about whether they would be the last ones.
I don't know. But it is a kind of good idea to see what kind of use it gets.
You're a volunteer to stand out here and on pictures. Okay, well, I'm ambivalent. I mean,
and I'm only one commissioner, so.
they need to know.
Well, I would say we should wait. You know, it's not the amount of money that we're going to lose, I think, for the amount of benefit that the global community gets is not that big, not that much.
Do we get money for parking out here?
That's the ramp fee.
That's
the ramp fee. The $10 fee is the parking fee.
Yeah, you can't charge for the ramp, right?
Well, it's
that's an answer.
Yeah, you really can charge for the whole thing as long as you keep the money within the ramp.
Yes.
And you want to vote?
Yeah, we need direction. So.
Well, I move that we waive the fees.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, call us wimps. And Frank is over there.
Smiling.
Special. Voter.
Commission decision.
Yeah. It's been a special night.
we're right by definition, right, Frank?
You're right by definition.
Okay. Staff comments.
I have none.
Just very briefly, we've initiated the permitting process for the JCIA runway rehab project and are awaiting our pre-application conference with county staff. It should be coming up in the next couple of weeks or so.
Okay.
Just to let the commissioners know, Abigail's mother's in the last stages of life, within a day. So let's keep her in our thoughts and prayers and her family, because it's a tough time for Abigail. So, Port Day. We tried to get all three legislators together. I'm going down to Olympia on Tuesday, and I think Commissioner Putney's going down also. We tried to get a little more quality time with our legislators, but between hearings and 75 ports arriving at Olympia all at the same time, they were able to give us 5 minutes. So it's hardly worth your time to drive to Olympia for 5 minutes. But what I have, I've talked to Linda Barnfather in Senator Vanderweg's office, and we suggested that in April, as soon as session's out, we actually bring Kevin here, and maybe we can get Mike and Steve to come also, to really get a bird's eye look at what we're facing with the stormwater and the jetty, and talk to them about the what we're doing, trying to unify the city and the port and the Maritime Center and the county. I think we'll have a better story in April, and I think it'd be great to have them on site. So certainly you're welcome to come to Olympia if you'd like, but no, we'll have 5 minutes with them between 11:30 and 11:35.
Okay.
All right. I'll be there for the WPPA board meeting and spend most of the day down there. I'm also at the boat show on Monday, so in Seattle all day, so you won't see me until Wednesday.
Counselor?
No comments.
Commissioner comments.
No comment.
Okay. Real quick, Jim and I were just at a stakeholder meeting at Fort Warden
They are looking at redesigning the pier area, possibly removing the pier. It's time, its useful life is up, so they're looking at options, and so it's good. It was a good discussion, and I think one of the things that is going to be of concern is what happens, if they remove the pier structure, what happens with all that sediment? How does it move? How's it going to affect the geography of the area? Will it enhance our beach, and will it stabilize our bank, possibly from the staircases out there?
So is the Marine Science Center going to go away too?
No, no. It would actually look possibly like there'd be a bigger structure shoreside. If the building actually did disappear over water, everything's in the air right now. It's just kind of a very preliminary stage of discussion. But all the players, the PDF was there. PD what?
A.
PDA, thank you. And, we were there.
Yeah. So.
Because we've actually had that looked at, that buildup of accretion around that boarded off part of the pier is an example of some guy that teaches about drift cells, uses as his textbook example, and with an overhead view of that. And Shane from Coastal Harbor came out and looked at it and had some dire warnings that if we took that out, that would just completely obliterate the boat ramp. And right now, the boat ramp is used for low boats. And that's actually what got me started working on this stuff, was trying to get that thing opened up, because this boat ramp here was so difficult, and we failed. But it could be, and it actually could have it could enhance the drift cell, in other words, get the sediment motion back to what it should be, and have a boat ramp still be there, only be one like in Silverdale. I'm not sure. So who was this discussion? That was State Parks?
State Parks is leading it. And it's their money, so there's money to be had there in terms of what they're planning to do. Okay. It's a long-term project. It's three bienniums, so in terms of their funding, it's over three bienniums, 6 years. So, and again, it would be good for you to be in the loop, and this summer they're going to be running this through a flow chart in terms of input, so I'll get you that.
So that's part of your Port Warden Advisory Committee.
That's where you were.
Your
role was.
Yeah, actually, Brian Hagley, the park ranger, told me about it.
Okay. I have nothing of much to say. So, the next public workshop and regular business meeting of the Port of Port Townsend will be on Wednesday, February 13th at 9:30 a.m. for the workshop and 1 o'clock p.m. for the commission meeting, and it will be in this building, and there is no executive session for Port of Port Townsend. The commission stands adjourned.